after it was done. You did the procedure yourself?
No, ma'am. I requisitioned the electronic device from logistics and got a local surgeon to do the implantation last night. It's really a simple procedure.
And you expect this office to pay for it?
Chavez shifted in his chair and said, For what it's worth, I agree with Kelly's initiative.
Initiative? Is that what we're calling this?
Hunching his heavy shoulders, Chavez pointed out, The woman voluntarily accepted the implantation.
It's the only way to keep track of her, Eamon said with some urgency. The suspect wants to take her out of the country, and we need to keep track of her, for her own safety.
Out of the country? You mean they're going to Mexico? Eamons shook her head and answered in a lowered voice,
No, ma'am. France.
France? The director exploded. They're going to France?
Marseille, apparently. They're leaving tonight, according to my information.
On a private plane, Chavez chimed in.
We don't have jurisdiction, the director yelled. What in the hell was going through your brain when you dreamed up all this bullshit?
Eamon stiffened.
Ma'am, we have reason to believe that this man al-Bashir was involved in the sabotage of the Astro Corporation spacecraft and the murders of three Astro employees.
And now he's going to Marseille, Chavez added.
And you'll have this woman going with him, a civilian.
The director glared at them both.
For Christ's sake, you could both be accused of promoting prostitution, you know that, if you don't get her killed first.
Chavez's face reddened.
And you still don't have any real evidence about this so-called suspect of yours, do you?
He's our man, Eamons replied stubbornly. I'm sure of it.
The director snorted disdainfully.
Marseille, she growled.
I could phone her and tell her to cancel the trip, Eamons said.
We'll have to get the satellite spooks to track her, the director grumbled.
Eamons sat up straighter.
Nacho and I could fly to Marseille, she suggested.
Like hell you will, the director said. You've spent enough of my budget as it is.
Why is he going to Marseille? Chavez wondered aloud. The director glared at him for a moment, then said quietly,
Latest poop from Washington. The spooks have found some unusual electronic activity just outside Marseille. It was in Friday's summary from Homeland Defense.
Electronic activity?
They don't know what it is. They're trying to home in on it, but it's intermittent, comes and goes.
Eamons said slowly,
Dan Randolph believed that his space plane crashed because somebody sent spurious electronic commands to it.
With a disgusted sigh, the director said,
I'll have to kick this upstairs to Washington.
As they left the director's office, Chavez whispered to Eamons, Are you sure you want to let this woman fly out to Marseille with al-Bashir?
She wants to do it, Eamons said.
You could be putting her neck in a noose.
That's why I had her implanted with the tracker.
Big help that's going to be. Matagorda Island, Texas. Despite the frigid gusts blasting from the air conditioning shafts that ran along the ceiling, the control center felt hot and stuffy to Dan, with all the VIPs and newspeople squeezed inside its cinder block walls. He stood by the closed double doors, pressed next to April, cold sweat trickling down his ribs. Scanwell was standing on Dan's other side, his eyes sweeping the quietly intense room. Jane was beside the governor. Aside from a completely impersonal handshake and greeting, she had said nothing to Dan. Lynn Van Buren was on her feet in the midst of the consoles, headset clamped over her short brown hair. The technicians were bent over their keyboards, their backs to the spectators. The big wall screen displayed an animated drawing of the Earth, with Astro headquarters and the receiving station at White Sands identified in big white block letters, and a square representing the power satellite high above. A dotted red line flickered from Matagorda to the satellite.
Can we get a picture of the satellite out there in space? Scanwell asked, leaning slightly toward Dan.
Shaking his head, Dan replied, We don't have cameras up there. It's an extra expense we don't need.
But what about NASA or the Air Force?
Dan grimaced. We're not a government operation, so they've steered clear of us. Maybe the news services will turn one of their satellites around for a picture, but their birds are all focused on the ground. We couldn't even get imagery from them when our first space plane crashed.
Scanwell shook his head. Seems to me there ought to be some video coverage of your satellite.
Pointing to the newspeople, Dan said, Tell them. Silently, he added, Maybe once you're in the White House, you can change things that much.
In addition to her normal headset, Van Buren had the tiny microphone of a portable amplifier clipped to her blouse, just beneath her inevitable necklace of pearls. She reached for the power pack tucked into the waistband of her skirt and turned it on. A blood-curdling howl of electronic feedback shrieked through the control center.
Sorry about that, Van Buren apologized, fiddling with the power pack. Can everybody hear me?
A ragged chorus of assent rippled through the crowd. Some of the onlookers raised their hands like schoolchildren.
Okay, fine, said Van Buren.
Pointing to the big clock on the wall, she told him, We're in the final countdown now. In 2 minutes, the satellite will start beaming power to the Rectenna farm. I mean, the receiving antennas out at White Sands.
It was like New Year's Eve, Dan thought. Every eye turned to the big clock and its steadily ticking second hand. Van Buren turned off the amplifier. Dan knew she was going through the final checkout with the technicians. Solar cells, inverters, magnetrons, output antenna, receiving antennas. People started counting the seconds aloud.
30. 29.
Unbidden, the old joke about the world's first totally automated airliner came to Dan's mind. The plane's computerized pilot speaks to the passengers through its voice synthesizer circuitry and assures them that the flight would be under perfect control at all times. The automated little speech concludes, Nothing can go wrong, go wrong, go wrong.
15. 14. 13. My whole life's tied up in this, Dan told himself. If it doesn't work, I'm finished. Down in flames.
8. 7.
He leaned forward slightly to look past Scanwell at Jane. Her eyes were on the clock, too, and her hands were clenched into tight little fists. This means a lot to her, too, Dan realized. But is it because of me or Scanwell?
Transmitting power, Van Buren called out.
The animation on the wall screen showed a solid green line running from the satellite to the rectennas at White Sands. Somebody gave a cowboy whoop. Others cheered. April jumped up and down and threw her arms around Dan's neck. Shocked, he wrapped his arms around her waist.
10 gigawatts on the line, Van Buren shouted. All systems up and running.
Even the technicians joined the celebration, whipping off their headsets and grabbing each other in bear hugs. Dan disentangled himself from April, who looked suddenly embarrassed.
We did it, kid,
he shouted at her over the blare of the crowd's cheering.
We did it.
Scanwell grabbed him by the shoulder and stuck out a big hand. Dan shook it while 2 dozen cameras flashed away. Then Jane shook his hand, too, smiling her politician's smile while her eyes focused on April. Every reporter in the room started shouting questions at Dan and Scanwell. Out of the corner of his eye, Dan saw that the wall screen now displayed a graph of the power being received by the rectennas. The curve climbed steeply to 10 gigawatts and stayed there. Grinning, Dan thought that he could start making some money now by selling that power to the Western electric utilities. California won't have any blackouts this summer, he told himself happily. Marseille. The Egyptian was too nervous to stay in the makeshift control center, so he went outside into the garden and sat in the shade of an ancient, gnarled olive tree. It was too hot and intense down in the basement with that quartet of bearded young electronics specialists, with their multiple earrings and other piercings defacing their lips and brows. He could barely understand what they were saying. Their English was so studded with arcane jargon. Besides, they had turned the basement into a pigsty, littering it with emptied fast food cartons and crumpled papers and plastic bottles. The floor crunched with crumbs when you walked across it. It is going well, the Egyptian assured himself as he gazed out on the calm Mediterranean. Below this hilltop villa sprawled the city, dirty, noisy, and dangerous. But from up here he could watch the placid sea glittering as the sun set at the end of a lovely springtime afternoon. It is going well, he repeated to himself. The astronauts have reached their transfer ship.
The new antenna was precisely where it was